Turn your Bible this morning to 1 Peter. I know we're in trying times today. Don't be fearful. Keep the faith. Keep looking to the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. The Lord's not left us. Amen. The good news is He's with us. So sad, so many people can't say that about themselves. But we got to keep being faithful. 1 Peter 1. Just one verse, verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We, the church, which is the body of Christ, are a new man. We're a new person. We've been born again by the word of God and the Spirit of God. I want to talk a little bit about what happens when that takes place today. Loving God, thank you that we can gather together on this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you we can gather together. And Jesus said where two or three are gathered, He'd be in the very midst. Thank you that we could worship a living Christ, a loving Savior. Thank you our God never leaves us. Thank you that you watch over us. Help us to just keep trusting in the Lord. Just keep serving the Lord. That you are in control of all things. That you're greater than any threat. No virus. No nation. We belong to you, Lord. You are our refuge. You're the one that we rely on and trust in. And it's our delight to serve our resurrected Savior and Lord, who is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for us today. And we thank you. We know these truths in Jesus' name. Have you ever wondered what happened the day you accepted Christ as your Savior? You know, when you really were saved, something happened. If it didn't, you're not saved. And that's what I'm talking about today. Something happens every time somebody gets saved. It's not just saying I'm going to be a believer and just go serving the Lord. Something has to take place to cause you to be saved. To be one of God's people, you got to be saved. Not just come join a church somewhere or be baptized. Something's got to take place. And we just read what Peter said, didn't he? He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed. Not of corruptible seed. That's man's seed. But by the word of God. There's a series of things that take place at the same time when you get saved. All these things take place simultaneously. And they take place in a logical sequence. For example, when a lost sinner truly repents of their sin and trusts Jesus as their Savior, they are then converted. You recognize you're lost. You recognize only Jesus can save you. And when you believe that and you want to be forgiven, and you ask Jesus to save you, you are converted. And not only are you converted, But at the same time, you're justified. And that word actually means you are as if you've never sinned. So you got converted, you got justified, and you got regenerated. Amen? You got regenerated, and you also had union with Christ. You're connected to Christ. You're part of His body. All of this is taking place, these different things, at the very same time you believe in Jesus. And that's why you become a different person. Amen? If that hasn't happened to you, you're just still the same lost sinner. You know, I'm afraid there's a lot of people in churches, they're still just lost sinners. You got to realize that you are the guilty sinner, lost, bless you. And you need salvation. And this is so important, so important. Not only do these things I mentioned take place, but you're then adopted into God's family. God adopts you into His family now. You're one of the children of God now. Isn't that amazing? All because of what Peter just said there. That you have been born again. Not by corruptible seed, but by uncorruptible, by the word of God. And not only that takes place, you know something else takes place? You're sealed. The Holy Spirit comes and seals you according to Ephesians chapter 1. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit's God. He put His stamp on you, His seal on you. Now you are secure. It all happened simultaneously together. God has sealed us. It's like in the old days of the West. The old rancher had a bunch of cows. And he had a branding arm, and he would brand his cattle with his brand. Them's mine. You better not be found with mine. You could wind up on the end of a rope or a shot. Well, when you were saved, if you were saved, you were sealed. And the most foolish thing you hear today by some preachers is you lose it. You can lose your salvation. It's the most ignorant remark a preacher could make. When you've been sealed, you belong to God. Nothing can break that. You've been made a new creation. You've been made a child of God. All of this took place at the same time. And you know what else happened at the same time? You were given eternal life. So again, how are you going to lose it? If you've been given eternal life. Now, the thing is, were you saved? Were you saved to start with? If you were saved to start with, all of these things apply to you. Now you belong to the Lord. And you'll belong to the Lord if it would go by years, 10 trillion years from now. If that took place when you accepted Jesus as your Savior. So today, do you know in your heart you have really been saved, that you have committed yourself to the Lord? There's no fooling the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit knew whether or not you accepted Jesus. The Holy Spirit's not going to seal somebody that ain't really repent. Amen? You ain't going to fool Him. So if you really repented, that is, you had a change of mind about sin and your need for Christ, when you trusted Him The Holy Spirit knew whether you trusted or not. And if you trusted, he converted you and he sealed you and you were given eternal life and all these other blessings I just mentioned here. Isn't that wonderful? So if you're a Christian in here today, and I hope you're not like this, and you're hoping you're saved, get out of that foolish knowledge or situation. You're hoping you're going to make it. Oh, how many times have I talked to people, you going to heaven? I hope to go. Hey, you need to know you're going. You need to know you're going. You can know. In fact, John said in 1 John chapter 5, you can know that you've been saved. It's a know-so salvation that we're given by the grace of God. So the Holy Spirit knows who's truly repented and trusted Jesus as their Savior. And you're not going to sneak into heaven unsaved. You hear me? Nobody's going to sneak into heaven. Remember how the Jews of Jesus' day thought they were the children of God? They thought they were the children of God. And they even crucified the Lord. Amen? Yeah, people can be mistaken. When one truly believes, they become a new person with a new life as promised by God's word. John 3:15 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not, what? Perish. Yeah. But have eternal life. Just think, folks, brothers and sisters, today, to a million, trillion years from now, we're going to be together. Amen? Because we got eternal life. We're going to live forever. And it can't be taken away from us. What a Savior, folks. Amen. What a Savior that will give sinners eternal life in his presence. It's enough to make a Baptist say amen. Amen? Amen. Amen. In 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. So, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, we're the family of God and we're going to always be together. Makes no difference if there's a virus down here or not. It won't be where we're at. Amen? There won't be anything to discourage us there or to harm us there. We're going to be with the Lord if we have been converted and we know the Lord. 1 John 5:11. And this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. You can't get it except through the Lord Jesus Christ, church. There's no salvation in Mary. I'm not talking about our Mary back at the back either. Oh, I turn over to the channel sometime where the Catholics are got together. All they talk about is Mary. Pitiful crowd, folks. Mary can't save nobody. Jesus is the Savior, folks. He's the only Savior. He's the only hope. He's the one we all need. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We're in him by the grace of God. Amen. This may be why we have so many church members who are so unfaithful to the church and have no spiritual fruit for the Lord. Because they're church members that's unconverted. Church members unconverted. they have not been saved. There's an estimated 30 million believers out of 340 million, I'm told, in the United States. An estimated 30 million believers in or Christians in the United States out of 340 million. That's a lot of unsaved people, isn't it? Wonder if those 30 million are all saved. Just think about that. Last Sunday I mentioned that there's over 7.4 billion people in the world. 7.4 billion. And out of that many, only about 2 billion are under Christianity. Look at the lost people all around us, everywhere. And most of them, well, just about all of them, they don't want to hear about God. They don't want to hear about what this book has to say. It's so sad. It's so sad when we know what we know. Amen? That Jesus Christ died for every single one of these 7.4 billion people. And he loves every one of them as much as he loves me and you. And yet, people have no interest in the Lord. Have no interest in the Lord in so many places. Let me give you the spiritual fruit Christian people are supposed to have. If you'll turn in your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, right quick. Turn to Galatians 5. This is the fruit that we're supposed to have as Christian people. This is what's supposed to be in our lives, which characterizes us. Galatians chapter 5, look down at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit, fruit, notice that singular, fruit, should have all these characteristics. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Boy, we might have to work on this long-suffering now with all this going on. Amen. Gentleness, godliness, or goodness, faith, meekness. This is our fruit. Temperance. Against such there is no law. This is our fruit, Paul tells us. This is who we are. We're being told in the Word of God. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. Listen to this last line here. They that are Christ's have crucified the flesh. You quit living by the flesh demands. We don't live by the flesh demand. We're supposed to be living by the Spirit. We're all spiritual people. Amen? Is the flesh dominating our lives? It's not supposed to. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. We're supposed to be living for the Lord. He's our Lord. Did you know that? Church. The modern church out here in the world today, I don't believe knows anything about this. The Lord is our Lord, and we're supposed to be living for the Lord. He's gone to prepare a place for us, his people, so we can go live with him forever. A definite change takes place in the life of any person who puts their trust in Jesus. Now, I know, and it applies to me today, we're all to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. It's a growing process. But at the same time, we know Jesus Christ is our Lord, and we're to be growing in him. Amen? We grow in him by coming to church faithfully. Not when I feel like it necessarily. He said, don't you forsake going to church. That's when his people comes together. He's got a people in this sin-sick world. Now, people's going up and down that highway up there today. They're going to see some people's cars out here. But theirs is not out here. Theirs is on the highway. Amen? We're God's little flock. God's always had a little flock, folks. Don't get distracted with all the mega churches. Everything yellow is not gold. Everything yellow is not gold. We're also baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. That's something else that happens when you get saved. The Holy Spirit takes us and baptizes us into the body of Christ. That is, he puts us in Christ, which is the church, his body. He does that. We're added to the church. Church started off with 120 members there on the day of Pentecost. The Lord's been added to that all the time. Every time somebody gets saved, they're added to the body of Christ. They're added by the baptismal work of the Holy Spirit. Puts us in his body. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we believers." It's believers he's talking about. All we believers. We all are baptized into one body. Whether this be Jews or Gentiles, whether bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. You know what? There's not but one church. It's the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the church of Christ. That's the church going to heaven, folks. It's not a name on the door. It's the one that's been born again, made up his body. In other words, we do not join Christ's church. You know that? You don't join Christ's church. He joins you. You join a Baptist church or a Methodist church or a Holiness church or whatever church. You can do that. They'll accept you. And they'll say, "How much money you got?" No. But the Holy Spirit adds you to his church, the Lord's church. And you know what? Listen to me carefully. Everyone that's a member of Christ's church is going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Hey, I'm praying everyone in this little church is going to heaven. Amen. Amen. But that's not going to be true in all churches. Not going to be true. We should join a Bible church. People will say sometimes, "Well, you know what, I like a church like I like." Hey, what about getting a church that preaches the Bible? We should join a Bible church and be baptized by immersion and begin to serve the Lord faithfully. I've always gone to church. I went to church in a mule and wagon. I've walked to church. I've pushed the car halfway to the church. I've come to church all my life in the Army. We didn't have church. We'd have chapel or something. But I was always there. I'd feel strange if I didn't go to church. When I've been sick and out, I feel awful. Amen. Amen. We're supposed to be in church. Why? I've been changed. I've been changed. I've been made a new person. Amen. I belong to the Lord. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 13:5, listen to me, examine yourself. Examine yourself, Paul said, whether you be in the faith. Do you really have the true faith? Prove your own selves, he said. Take an inventory today. Have you really been saved? Are you really on your way to heaven? If the rapture would happen right now, would you be left behind? After me preaching this, and you'd be left? In Matthew 18:3, and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Guess who said that? The Savior. Amen. He said, you got to be converted. There's got to change take place. We ain't fit to go to heaven, folks. We gotta have a new life. In Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted. Yeah, he's telling them Jews, you got to get converted, Jews. Oh, them Jews, they thought they were God's people. You know, today, you'd be surprised at the people out there today that's in the bar rooms, in the dance halls. They think they're one of God's children. I got a great discussion one time at work with a great big old guy that was there. Oh, he stood me down. Everybody was a child of God. That ain't what the Bible says. No. Need to read Galatians 3:26. You're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You got to become a child of God by faith to be a child of God. Yeah. There are two statements, two elements in getting saved. You got to repent. What's that mean? I got to repent. Got to be sorry for your sins. Got to recognize you're a sinner. You got to turn from going this way in life and repent, turn around, ask Jesus to forgive you, and start going this way. That's what repentance is about. Having a change of mind about sin, about God, about myself. I'm lost. You know what it means to be lost? You're heading down a road that's going to wind up in eternal separation from God. Eternal darkness. And the Bible says it's the lake of fire. Just want to be honest. Truthful. Not only you got to repent, you got to have faith. Got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Trust Him. You can trust Him. Amen. He's never lied. He won't lie. He can't lie. Just like when He came, He couldn't sin. I don't believe Jesus Christ could sin. Why? He's God. Amen. God's holy. Yes, sir. He hates sin. That's the reason God sent His Son. He couldn't sin. He was going to accomplish what He came to do. Amen? Amen. We've got to repent of sin. We've got to trust Christ. It can't be overstated. How can I repent and be saved? You got to hear the gospel. Well, how are you going to hear the gospel when you never go to church? Why, how are you going to hear the gospel when you won't cut the radio on or TV and listen? You know what? Nobody's going to be able to claim ignorance, because the Bible says even the heavens declare the glory of God. Amen. There's a God. You got to hear the gospel. You got to hear about what the Lord has did. You got to come under the sound of the gospel. Because the Bible says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Turn in your Bible to Acts 2 right quick. Acts 2. Listen to what Peter said. His sermon. In Acts chapter 2, look down at verse 36. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus. He's talking to the Jews now, listen at him. That ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, see, they heard the gospel now. They're hearing the gospel. This is what the gospel's supposed to do, folks. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, that's even down to me and you, amen? Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, 36 through 39. See, they finally heard the gospel, them Jews, and some of them got saved. Amen? That's what the gospel will do. Only the gospel will get you saved. Only the gospel. That's an excellent passage on repentance and faith by the Jewish people, as Peter had preached there. Sinners must see they are wrong and God is right and turn from their sin to Jesus Christ. And so you're here today. You're thinking in your mind, even as I'm trying to preach here a little bit, you're thinking about it about yourself. Amen? Did I really believe in Jesus? Have I really trusted the Lord? Am I really giving the Lord my best? Sin must be seen as personal guilt, and God, who demands righteousness in ourselves, is defiled and helpless to do anything about it. We can't clean up our act, folks. We can't clean up our act. But you know, praise God, that's what the power of the blood's about. The blood of Jesus Christ, church, washes us and cleanses us. Amen? The power of the blood through the gospel of Jesus Christ makes us an acceptable people to a thrice holy God. I tell you what, folks, there ain't nothing like being saved and knowing it. Amen. Nothing like being saved and knowing it. Laying down at night knowing if I don't wake up, I'll wake up in heaven. Amen? Now, I'm going to have a Baptist fit the first thing when I get there. Amen? Amen. Psalms 51. You see how David, how he prayed about the sin in his life. He said, have mercy on me, Lord. You know what? You can feel the desperation in this psalm in David's heart. Have mercy on me, Lord. He had sinned. We're all sinners, folks. Amen. Oh, God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me, David cried. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. We've got to personally know it was my sin that condemned me. Amen? For I acknowledge my transgressions. What a prayer David poured out from the bottom of his heart concerning sin that was in his life. Have you truly repented of your sin to God? Have you honestly asked for forgiveness and trusted Jesus for salvation? In Acts 17, look down at verse 30 in your Bible. Acts 17, verse 30. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Everywhere. Repent. Turn from your sin, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness. The whole world going to be judged one day. Look up here at me right now, every one of you. Look up here at me. Did you know one day, I don't care what your relationship is to the Lord, you're going to stand before Jesus. You can stand saved or unsaved, but you'll stand there. Better correct it, preacher. You'll kneel there. We have all an appointment to face the Lord one day. And you can't get out of it. You can't have a sick day or a vacation day or a personal day. I went to a job one time. I never heard no such. They said, you can have 3 days personal days. What's that? Oh, you don't have to come to work those days. Oh, I never heard that before. I need more jobs like that, amen? Hey, we got to face the Lord, everybody. And he's talking about right here that the whole world's going to be judged one day. Every person that's ever lived is coming before the Lord one day to be examined. Oh, I know the Christian people will be at a different time than the unsaved. I understand that. But you're still going to be there. You know what, folks? I don't think we'll be laughing when we go as Christians. Amen? I don't think we're going to be shouting to hell at that day. The Bible even says you can be ashamed. Christians can be ashamed because we didn't do our best for the Lord. Look what he did his best for us. What have we done for him, church? Breaks my heart. Time's wasted in my life. We're going to stand there. We're going to be there. To see the one that loved us so much. Yeah. The times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day which he's going to judge the world in righteousness. The standard is Jesus. You got to be just like Jesus. The good news is this, church. You listen to me? If you are a real believer, you'll be just like Jesus, because we'll be clothed in his righteousness. Amen? We'll be clothed in his righteousness. The Bible goes on and it says, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. Christ has been raised from the dead. Luke 24:46, and said unto them, thus it's written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name above all nations. It's our job. It was given to the church to preach Christ to all the nations. That's the Great Commission. Luke 15:7, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. It's a happy time in heaven when an old sinner gets saved. Isn't that something? You know, it might have been a large crowd of church members who need to be saved. Many of them need to be in a Bible church where they can hear the gospel and be convicted of their lost condition and turn to Jesus Christ. Today, in this blessed country of ours, I know a lot of churches won't be meeting. Some will be telecasting or broadcasting one way or the other. But there'll be more people with no interest everywhere minding their business at some nonsense, indifferent to their personal need. It's so sad. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is the purpose of the cross. There God judged sin, that all that would believe in him would have everlasting life. Think of what all God has did to get man saved. Think of what men and women have done to get the gospel out down through the centuries. Many have been persecuted. Many have been put to death. Many have worked hard, tiresome hours, getting out the gospel one way or the other. Why? They want people to hear the gospel. They want people to be saved. Because the Lord has called the church, the body of Christ, to publish the good news. Jesus died for the sins of all the world, that whoever would believe in him would have everlasting life. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust. He was sinless, but he died for the sinners. Amen. That he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Holy Spirit. We're saved by faith alone. You know, most churches teach you got to have good works to go to heaven. That's not true. We're saved by faith, period. The Bible says, not of works, lest any man should boast. We should have works, but it's not to help us to be saved. It's to show we are saved. We should have works to prove who we are. We're the born-again ones. But the Bible says we are saved by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. We're not asked to do anything but believe on Jesus as our Savior. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We're saved by believing in what Jesus Christ did on that cross, died, paid for our sin, and on the third day he arose victorious, just like the Bible said, and he himself said that he would. We're saved by faith in him who conquered death. God's done everything through Jesus for our salvation. All we are called upon is to believe in him and begin to love him and serve him. James 2:20 says, "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that without faith, that O vain man, that faith without works is dead." So it just says what I just said. If you are a person of faith, you've been saved, you should have works to verify you have a new life in Jesus Christ. For as the body without a spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Let's live for the Lord. Let's prove who we are by the way we live. That's the only way you can prove you're saved, by the way you live. You can say you're going to heaven, that don't mean you are. We live by faith. Let's love the Lord. Live by faith. Share the good news. Work to get out the gospel. Let's keep the faith. And I know we're in times now like times we've never had in our country. You know what? It's going to get worse. The Bible teaches in the latter days it's going to be perilous times, folks. We better be preparing ourselves to live through some trying days. But the Lord said, "I won't forsake you. I'll always be with you." So I don't mean to sound to discourage you, but to realize, folks, this world is not our home. We're just passing through it. And each day brings us closer home. And the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. So let's band together. Encourage one another. Pray for one another. Let's work for the Lord. Be faithful to him. May we pray. Loving God, thank you for the time, the opportunity you give us today to come and share a portion of your word. As we think about that we've been converted by the word of God. We've been converted not by corruptible seed, but by the word of God, the incorruptible word. Thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that would be provided for sinners everywhere. And that the longing of your heart, because you're not willing that any would perish, but all would come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, in these days, help us to be faithful, loving the Lord and sharing the Lord and even in enjoying the Lord as we live each day. We just want to thank you, Lord, for the grace of God that would save us, that would make us your people, and that you are preparing a place that we might live with you for eternity. We bless the name of our great God and Savior in Jesus' name. Have your way in every heart and life. And we thank you for these and all blessings. Amen and amen. This time we give you the opportunity. Come to the altar. Come pray for someone. You have special needs in your life. Come pray. Talk to the Lord. You're here today and you really never been saved. We invite you to the altar today.